But much the same could be said of any scientific theory. There is nothing in the successful application of Newton's or Einstein's laws of motion to the solar system that prevents us from supposing that every once in a while some comet gets a small shove from a divine agency. It seems pretty clear that Johnson raises this issue not as a matter of impartial open-mindedness, but because, for religious reasons, he cares very much about life in the way that he does not care about comets. But the only way that any sort of science can proceed is to assume that there is no divine intervention, and to see how far one can get with this assumption. Johnson argues that naturalistic evolution, evolution that involves no intervention or guidance by a creator outside the world of nature, in fact does not provide a very good explanation for the origin of species. I think he goes wrong here because he has no feeling for the problems that any scientific theory always has in accounting for what we observe. Even apart from outright errors, our calculations and observations are always based on assumptions that go beyond the validity of the theory we are trying to test. There never was a time when the calculations based on Newton's theory of gravitation or any other theory were in perfect agreement with all observations. In the writings of today's paleontologists and evolutionary biologists, we can recognize the same state of affairs that is so familiar to us in physics. In using the naturalistic theory of evolution, biologists are working with an overwhelmingly successful theory, but one that is not yet finished with its work of explication. It seems to me to be a profoundly important discovery that we can get very far in explaining the world without invoking divine intervention, and in biology as well as in the physical sciences. In another respect, I think that Johnson is right. He argues that there is an incompatibility between the naturalistic theory of evolution and religion as generally understood, and he takes to task the scientists and educators who deny it. He goes on to complain that naturalistic evolution is consistent with the existence of God only if by that term we mean no more than the first cause, which retires from further activity after establishing the laws of nature and setting the natural mechanism in motion. The inconsistency between the modern theory of evolution and belief in an interested God does not seem to me one of logic. One can imagine that God established the laws of nature and set the mechanism of evolution in motion with the intention that through natural selection, you and I would someday appear. But there is a real inconsistency in temperament. After all, religion did not arise in the minds of men and women who speculated about infinitely prescient first causes, but in the hearts of those who longed for the continual intervention of an interested God.